Earlier this week, the D.C. Circuit of the U.S. Court of Appeals dealt a major blow to the advocates of net neutrality, deciding that the Federal Communications Commission lacked the authority to force broadband Internet providers to treat all Internet traffic equally. We will look into just what net neutrality is and what this ruling means for the future of the Internet on today's Backstory segment. Joining us now is University of Michigan Law School professor Susan Crawford. Until recently, she was also a special assistant to the president for science, technology, and innovation policy. And that was in the Obama administration. I'm very pleased to welcome her to our show today. Hello.
Thanks so much for having me on.
The major players in this case were Comcast, the cable and Internet service provider, the FCC, which regulates communication networks, and BitTorrent, a file sharing program. Can you give us some background on the case and what the sides were arguing?
Sure. I think it's worth taking a moment to understand why this is really a rip the Band-Aid off moment for the FCC and how important the FCC's next steps are for all of us. The background here is that the Bush FCC deregulated all high-speed Internet access providers. So they said that they could just be like quarter delis and prioritize and discriminate any way they wanted to. They were hoping, I think, that a lot of competition would emerge in the market for high-speed Internet access. So it's a few years later now, and there's been a wave of mergers in the communications industry. And also these huge companies have started saying that they'd like the ability to discriminate so that they can charge more and, you know, price discriminate like any business does. And speeds are slow and prices are high. So we've had a big debate over net neutrality, which is this question of whether carriers can offer fast lanes as well as slow lanes to people who are using the Internet.
Well, so the deregulation led the court to decide that the FCC lacked the authority to impose rules on how broadband providers treat traffic on their networks?
That's exactly right, because the Bush FCC did something clever. They said, well, we're going to deregulate, we're going to label these guys differently, but we're going to retain the power to regulate in the future if we need to under a different section of the Act than the common carriage section. So it's a little arcane, but it's actually the labeling of these actors as non-common carriers that the D.C. Circuit said means that the FCC doesn't have authority to tell them what to do when it comes to network management.
But don't FCC rules, regulations change from one administration to another? Does the Obama FCC have to abide by what the Bush FCC wanted?
Absolutely not. In fact, the FCC could, at this point, initiate a rulemaking. It can change its mind. It can relabel these huge carriers as common carriage providers. It can forbear, that's the term of art, it can hold back from applying many of the heavy-duty regulatory requirements that we did for telephone companies. So it can say, we won't tariff your services, but we will require you to act as non-discriminatory providers. And this was the case until August 2005. These were regulated services until then. They were relabeled by the Bush guys, and they can be labeled differently once more by the Obama players.
What are the immediate implications of this ruling for the consumer?
Well, there's a lot of concern about how this relatively narrowly framed decision by the D.C. Circuit may undermine the FCC's plans. The National Broadband Plan, just released a couple of weeks ago, says that the commission plans to require carriers, for example, to tell us what their real prices are and their real speeds. And if they don't have authority to speak to these providers of high-speed Internet access, how are they going to do that? And how are they going to make sure that people have access to this general-purpose commodity network that everybody needs now? How are they going to subsidize those services unless they can speak effectively to high-speed Internet access providers? So there's a lot of concern about what effect this ruling will have on the FCC's ability to protect consumers.
Doesn't this come down to the fact that people use the Internet for different things that require different amounts of bandwidth?
Mm-hmm.
A person who uses the Internet to download movies is using up a lot more bandwidth than somebody who's checking email or looking at his or her Facebook. Shouldn't a person who uses the Internet to download movies have to pay more?
Yeah, and not even the fiercest net neutrality advocate wouldn't say that you can't charge people more for more bandwidth. That's appropriate. Discriminating against users based on their usage is fine. That's what any utility would do. The problem for net neutrality is when these huge companies act like gatekeepers when it comes to the applications and content that people access online. So if they're charging more, if they're creating a fast lane for their affiliated content, that's the problem. But charging people for using more bandwidth at the end of the network is not the issue.
Would they be choosing the users, or would they be charging the people who are offering the content? For example, if YouTube wants to be downloaded quicker, would they have to pay more than somebody else who says, let it take as long as it takes?
That's exactly right. That is the concern. So you say Comcast does a deal, let's say, with YouTube and decides that they will have faster access to subscribers than anybody else. It's exactly that ability to charge content providers and sources of uses of the Internet more that causes the net neutrality concern.
Is there a free speech implication here? Because the smaller providers would obviously be at a disadvantage.
Yes, and this concern has echoes in many other periods of American history when their large monopolists have gotten gatekeeper control over essential access facilities. That's exactly what's happening here. So if these, there are only about four or five major providers of network access in the United States, if one of those guys gets to say who gets to speak effectively online and who doesn't, there are implications not only for economic growth, but also for U.S. culture and, social health of our country.
There was a report today in the Wall Street Journal that Comcast spent nearly $3.5 million in the fourth quarter lobbying members of Congress. AT&T spent $3.4 million, Verizon $3.1 million, Google $1.1 million. It looks like the sides are gearing up for a major fight here.
This is really World War III. If the FCC decides that it wants to reclassify, relabel these services, there will be a battle with these major players. But it's a battle I believe the FCC can win. It's allowed to change its mind about this labeling if it develops an adequate factual record and explains why it's changing its mind.
So then the case would go back to the courts.
Actually, it's likely that the courts would defer. Yes, it would go back to them, but because this is an expert agency we're dealing with, it's likely the courts would say, FCC, you've done a good job. You've developed your record, if they do their job right.
And so is this really a moot point because the FCC can just undo what the court decided?
It's not moot because of the extraordinary political pressures being placed on the FCC right now. The carriers are saying, no, you've got to go to Congress. They like that route because they know it will take forever. They're also happy to litigate over each step the FCC takes, one regulatory mandate at a time. So it's not moot. The FCC actually would have to choose to reclassify, initiate the rulemaking, develop the factual record, and then take its licks in court, and it's going to take a while.
There's been speculation that the ruling in favor of Comcast may complicate its quest to acquire NBC Universal.
Yeah, the idea is that if the FCC is feeling hamstrung in this regulatory area and it's going to take a while to fix, it's going to take its pound of flesh in the merger because that gives us a chance to opine. Comcast serves 95% of Americans, 39 states. Almost everybody who makes $50,000 a year is served by Comcast. That's the local cable provider, and they're in a monopoly. They never, ever compete with the other major cable providers. That's true in New York City. Cablevision does not compete in the same buildings where Time Warner is. So the FCC has a lot to work with in figuring out whether it's appropriate for these huge companies to vertically integrate and also become sources of content as well as distributors.
I've been talking with Susan Crawford, who is a professor at the University of Michigan Law School. She was, until recently, special assistant to the president for science, technology, and innovation policy. And I thank you so much for clearing all of this up for me, or clearing it up as best you can. Obviously, we're going to have to follow this story over the next year or so.
Great. Thanks so much.